Who do you say that I am? There's a quote behind me that you probably can't read because of the size of the lettering, but let me read it for you. It's from A.W. Tozer. It says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." It's been a difficult couple of days here for our church ministry. We unexpectedly lost a friend. Not just a member of our church or a trustee, but a dear friend. A family has been just devastated by this loss of a dad and a husband. And it's been a difficult week. And on Wednesday, as I came back from the hospital, I was driving home from the hospital. On my way home, my mind was drawn to this morning. And it was pretty clear that God was kind of prompting me that today was not going to be about Jephthah or the book of Judges. They can wait. It wasn't going to be about the series that we're in. And I really felt like God impressing upon me the need to share with you and with myself about who God is specifically. And that we need that reminder more often than we think. And so we're going to be talking about who God is. And as I thought about the change, and obviously understanding this is now Wednesday night, and Thanksgiving is on Thursday, and I'm pretty well into what I was going to do already. I'm like, okay, God, you made it clear that you want me to move in a different direction, but there's a lot of verses in the Bible. So what am I going to do? And on Thursday morning, on Thanksgiving morning, I was opening up my Bible app on my phone, my Bible reading app, and one of the passages that I was taken to was Psalm 139. And the words of this psalm are very familiar to me, but at that moment, God made it again very clear to me, this is where you need to go. This is where you need to take yourself for the next couple days and then bring before the people on Sunday is Psalm 139. And so that is where we're going to go today. Today is about God, and we're going to find him in Psalm 139. It's about the God who is. So I encourage you to take your copy of the scriptures. You can use the pew rack in front of you. There's a number on the slide behind me. But we're going to be in Psalm 139. I realize that you have an insert like you do most weeks, and you can write things in the insert as you like. But I also challenge people, because a lot of you keep your Bible week after week or month after month or even year after year, the Bible that you have right now, you might want to write some things down in your margin, because you'll probably need to go back to this passage at some point in your life and maybe just be reminded of some of the things we're going to talk about today about who God is. And the challenge or the encouragement that I want to bring forth to you today is not just related to what happened on Wednesday. As tragic as what is, as painful as it is and will continue to be, and as we walk through this with the family, it's not just about Wednesday. It's about the fact that all of us will face things in our lives. We have, and we maybe currently are, and we will in the future. And even as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be reminded of who God is. Psalm 139 is structured with four paragraphs of six verses each. And these six verses or each section kind of drive home a specific point. And we're going to look at the first three sections this morning and discover about who God is. And maybe you're coming in this morning, maybe you have no context of even what happened in our church, or maybe it's your first time here. We're glad you're here, because guess what? Everybody in this room needs to know about who God is. Everybody in this room, myself included, whether it's your first time or you've been coming here for years, we all need to be reminded about who God is. So Psalm 139, join with me as I start with verse number 1. This is a psalm from David, and David writes this: "God, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." These first six verses, this is what David is saying. He's talking about the God who is all-knowing, The God who is all-knowing. If you would like to be maybe a little bit more theologically smarter this morning, if that you'd like to take that away with you from church, you can write omniscience if you want to spell that. But that's the theological term about God, is the God who is all-knowing. The God who is all-knowing. And if we go back to verse number 1, let me read this for you again. David says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." In the original language that's used, the Hebrew language, it's as if David is saying, God, you have done the ultimate background check on me. You know everything about me. Kind of scared about that, God, but you have searched me and you know me. You've examined every detail of my life. Let that sink in for just a moment, no matter who you are in this room. God knows the details of your life. Now, my mind came to a question. How well did David really think that God knew him? I mean, David makes the statement in verse 1, but how well did he really think that God knew him? Well, he goes on to describe how well he thinks this about God. Verse 2, "You know when I sit down and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar." So God knew when David got up and when he went to bed. Verse 3, "You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." You know what's happened in my life. You know what I'm doing. Verse 4, "Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." Here's the scary thing brought together by David. David could say this, God, you know every move I make. Every move I make. God, you know about my whole day, every part of my day. You know about my thoughts and my words. Wow. God, you have searched me and you know me. You know everything about me. But let me bring that to us today. While it's true for David, it's also true for us this morning. God knows us personally. I look around the room, I know a lot of you. But I don't know anybody in this room what time you went to bed. And I don't want to. I don't know what time you got up. I don't know if you wanted to get up. I don't know if you'd like set your alarm or you're so excited for church or you're like set your alarm because you have to go. I don't know. I don't know anything about you. In that way. I know a lot of you, your names and stuff, but I don't know you that way. But God knows you personally. Personally. God knows you better than you know yourself. Some of you don't, you know, I'm not going to write that down. That's too scary. But, and God knows about your days and your nights. So think about it. God personally knows about those times when you have trouble sleeping because of the weight of the world on you. Guess who knows? God knows. When you struggle during the day to focus because of the heaviness of your heart, guess who knows? God knows. That's a good thing. God knows about your daily activities and your circumstances, both expected and unexpected. So I'm just saying, I needed to be reminded that on Wednesday evening, God knew. He knew what was going on. He knew what was happening in the lives of those people that were coming around. Even in my life, he knew these things, and he knew it personally. And I'm thankful for that. He knows about your thoughts, your actions, and your feelings. Now, I realize that whole idea of God knowing you personally might really kind of intimidate you. And at first, I believe it troubled David as well. Because in verse 5, it says, after he talks about how well God knows him, David says in verse 5, God, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. This is not a verse of endearment. David was thinking, God, you've kind of boxed me in. I mean, you've hemmed me in from the front and the back. I can't, you know everything about me. I can't get anything by you, God. And your hand is on me, almost like, you see sometimes in a store of valuable things where the mother goes in with the toddler. Her hand is upon him or her. You hem me in before and behind as we make our way through the china and the figurines. And the child feels very what? Constrained. But God knows us. And at first it seems like David is troubled by this, and even for us we may be intimidated by this. But look at verse 6. Upon further review, David says this about God's knowledge: it is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So even though it was challenging, even though it was somewhat overwhelming for David to know about God's knowledge of him, he still was encouraged. He still was thankful that this God who knows everything is the God that I serve and I love, who loves me, and I'm thankful for this. It's beyond my human capacity, yet I'm thankful for it. And the same is true for us. God knows us personally. And you may say, well, shouldn't that sense of God's knowledge cause us to feel responsible and accountable? Yes, it should. But that's not the only place where it should take us. It really isn't. It's only part of it. Let me read this statement to you. God's knowledge of us is much more than the accumulation of facts. God's knowledge of us indicates interest and care. Let me read that again. God's knowledge of us, or God's knowledge of you, is much more than the accumulation of facts. God's knowledge of you indicates interest and care. I understand responsibility and accountability, but I'm here to tell you, I was thankful back on Wednesday night and on Thursday as interacting with the family, as I am now today, that God is not just about knowing the facts of the situation. He cares, and he's interested in a personal way. So in your life, and in my life, when things come in like this, it's not just God knowing the facts. Please go beyond an intellectual God. He's a God who cares. Because I can learn facts about people. I can find out somebody's birthday, maybe where they live, what kind of car they drive. I can learn about maybe what they do for a living, some family details. I may even be able to discover some likes and dislikes. But does that mean because I've acquired these facts about people that I care about them? Not necessarily. But that's not the way it is with God. And I get in trouble every once in a while because I will struggle at times with maybe remembering things that I need to do for my family or for my wife in particular, you know, things that she's asked me to do and I just kind of forget. But yet I can tell her what Roberto Clemente's batting average was from 1972. And she's like, who is that and why do you even care? I don't really care about him. I just know the facts. And the thing is, we sometimes think, just because God knows, it's just all factual things to him. Do you understand you're more than just a blip on a screen for God? You understand you're more than just one of millions of people in this universe or on this planet? That God's knowledge to you and to me, if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, God's knowledge means I'm interested and I care about you. And I'm here to tell you, we need this. You need this, and I need this. Because of everything that our world is going through, everything that we face, it's so encouraging to know that somebody knows us and cares about us, and his name is God. And what exactly does that look like? Let me give you some examples. God knows you personally, which means that God knows your joy and your pain. He knows your joy and your pain. God knows your gladness and your grief. God knows your faith and your fear. God knows your trust and your doubt. And on Wednesday, God knows your best day and your worst day. All of those. That's my God. And that's the God that many of you follow. He knows you personally. And you will be challenged about this. You will. From people outside of maybe your faith realm, they may challenge this. And you will challenge yourself about this. And it's perfectly understandable. You'll challenge yourself about the knowledge of God. And does he really care personally? He does. But you'll be challenged with this. I shared in the first service that as a pastor, I've been a pastor for a long time, over 25 years. And I have walked through lots of different valleys with people, lots of different things. And they're all unique in and of themselves. But I have to tell you, as I was driving to the hospital and I was receiving information, understanding the situation and the gravity of the situation, I was really saying to God, I don't know if I can walk through this again with people. It's not that I don't care about them, but God, I am drained. I want to trust you. I know who you are, but God, help. I'm going to walk into this emergency room. I'm going to see these people face to face, and they're going to look to me for help. And God, I need your help. Please remind me that you know. And you care. Because I don't know if you're under the impression that as pastors, it just automatically just comes and we're, you know, no, it's hard. But I'm so thankful what David says. He reminds us that the Creator, listen to me, the Creator of the universe not only knows you, but he cares for you. In Pastor Jay's version of the Bible, it's mind-blowing. That's the way for too wonderful. It is mind-blowing that God knows and cares about us personally. Think about it. The Creator of the universe knows me. And not just knows me like some of you think, like, uh-oh, he knows you. No, he knows me, what I'm going through, the things that I'm facing. So David makes it clear that he knows that God is a God who's all-knowing. He goes on in Psalm 139 by declaring that God is also the God who is all-present, all-present. Omnipresence is the theological word for that, but the God who is all-present. Look at verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit, David asks. Where can I flee from your presence? Perhaps another question could be, can I get away from God? And the answer is, not really. No matter where you go or where you find yourself, you can't get away from God. Where can I go? And David, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but David goes on to give some vivid examples of God's presence. Where can I go? Where can I flee? Verse 8, if I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. God's presence is found in the extremes of horizontal. North, south. Any place in between, you're there. That's where God is. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, east, west, I don't know if I'm pointing the right direction, don't worry about it, it's okay. East to west, if I find myself any place on that continuum, the two extremes of horizontal, who's there? God is there. Vertically, horizontally, any place in that continuum that you and I find ourselves in life, guess who's there? God is there. So David makes this pretty clear. God cannot be escaped from. God cannot be escaped from. It would be true to say that God is always watching over us. We can't hide from God. I read this week this statement that we are under God's inescapable supervision. And as I read that, I'm reminded again to the challenges of being a parent of toddlers. We are under God's inescapable supervision. And how that's a struggle at times, but God is present. But when we say things like, you can't escape from God, I understand how some in this room may be thinking, well, I'm looking at God now through the lens of fear and intimidation. I understand that. Because we hear things like this, oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful. Little feet, where you go. Or parents to a teenager, God is watching you. Or a mom to an adult child or even a child that's getting ready to become independent. I may not be there, mom says, but God is. Wanting to instill that presence. But the idea of God being all-present goes way beyond this idea of him watching over us all the time and maybe even thinking about it in a fearful way. Because David says, no matter where I go, I can't escape from God. And how do I know it's more than just kind of an intimidation thing? It really is more than that. It's not even that. Because look at verse 10, the conclusion that David makes. Wherever I go, God, your presence is there. And it says, even there, wherever that is, you know where there is where you are. Okay? So whether it's a Wednesday night kind of situation where I was, wherever you are, that's where it is. And he says, even there, your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me. So no matter where, David said, no matter where I find myself, God will direct me and steady me. Are you encouraged by that? No matter where. God is present. And he goes on to develop this thought even more. He could have stopped at verse 10. Verses 11 and 12 are powerful. It says, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, God, because the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you, God." Now, interesting. I think it's appropriate to say, as maybe you've heard some say, that these verses are saying that nothing is concealed from God. He has night vision. And I think it's appropriate to say this, but I found it fascinating as I was studying this text that one commentary that I was reading said or suggested that the word hide that's found in verse 11 could also be translated to crush. So let me read it to you this way. David says this, "Surely the darkness will crush me." Surely the darkness will crush me. As if David is saying this, God, there are times when I feel like the darkness is overwhelming me. Whether it's enemies in David's case or events in his life that were not good or events in our lives. So there's times when the darkness seems to overwhelm us. And in the midst of that darkness, is God still there? Is God still there in the midst of that overwhelming, crushing, bruising darkness? The answer is yes. And you know what I'm talking about. I know you do. I felt that crush feeling as I walked in and started to talk with the family, and with Yvonne in particular. I felt that. I felt that darkness, not because God wasn't there, but because of the darkness of the situation, the gravity of the situation. And in that moment, guess what? God was there. Because even darkness does not hide us from God. I wrote it down this way in your insert. Nothing. And when I say nothing, I mean nothing. Nothing you experience will forfeit God's presence in your life. Well, Pastor Jay, I'm going through this, and I'm not really sure God is present in my life. I'm here to tell you in as nice a way as I can, you're wrong. Nothing you experience will forfeit God's presence in your life. I'm not talking about sin here. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the things that we face just in life that you have faced and you will face, folks. You know that, right? You face these kind of things. Or you know people are, if you have a relationship with God, nothing you experience will forfeit God's presence. And that's where you're supposed to say, amen. Put it to you this way, there is no tragedy, there is no trauma, there is no job loss, there is no discouragement, there is no illness, there are no dreams shattered, no goals unmet, no people mistreating you, no relationships that are strained or ended, no family dysfunction, nothing you experience and I experience will forfeit us from God's presence. Nothing. I had a short list. I don't know what your thing is, but whatever it is, nothing is too dark for God. Because you've found yourself in dark places. I'm sure you have. And you're wondering, is God here? I'm just here to tell you, listen, it's not going to be really theologically deep, but let me tell you this. God is not afraid of the dark. He's not. He is not afraid of the dark. He is not afraid of the dark with his presence. He is the God who is all present. How does that work? I don't know exactly how it works, but I want to tell you this. When I arrived on Wednesday in a hospital, began to interact with Yvonne, and then the news came that Brian had passed away, and continued to interact with Yvonne, she kept saying to me, "I don't know what it is, but I'm overwhelmed with God's peace." Wow. Here's a quote I found. "Peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God." Pastor Jay, I don't know how to explain it to you, but I'm sensing the peace of God right now. You talk about probably the darkest time in her life. Was God hidden from her? Absolutely not. His presence was there. And you know what? I was just thanking God at that moment. God, thank you, because I don't even really know what to say right now. But you're showing up with your peace. Why? Because you are the God who is all present. But God, he not only knows us, He's not an all-present, but there's one more section I want to cover just quickly as we finish. One more section, one more paragraph that David talks about, and he brings to our attention one more thing. He talks about the God who is all-powerful. All-powerful. He's the omnipotence of God. He's all-knowing, he's all-present, he's also all-powerful. And folks, as I work my way through this, I don't want you to miss this. This power of God is all about his place in our lives through the good times and the bad times. It really is. You understand that you serve, that you, many of you in this room have identified, I will follow a powerful God? We need to be reminded of that. Verse 13, David says, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." What incredible verses. I know a lot of you have seen these before. Are you talking about them when you're talking about God being the creator and life and celebrating life? These are wonderful verses about celebrating life. But David must also have been thinking when he was saying, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made," he's thinking, this same God who made me, he also knows me. And he's present with me. He's a powerful God. He's the creator of the universe. If God created me, David's thinking, then he must know me. If God created me, he must be concerned about me. I put it to you this way. If God is powerful enough to create you, he is powerful enough to strengthen and sustain you. God made you, and he can, he will, and he does support you. The Bible says, though my heart may fail, God is the strength of my life. And you can almost write it in other things. Though my friends may fail, God is the strength of my life. Though my job may fail, God is the strength of my life. Though my health may fail, God is the strength of my life. Though my finances, they may fail, God is the strength of my life. God is the powerful God who not only made you, he wants to strengthen you. This is why it is so important to really interact on a very strong basis with the idea of God being a creator. He created me. I'm not two pieces of dust colliding at a high speed. And after a billion years of good luck, here I am. This is what you get. Wow. No. Theologically speaking, garbage. Biblically speaking, I have a God who made me. And if he's powerful enough to say, hey, I'm going to make some stars, boom. I'm going to make some animals, boom. I'm going to make me a world. Boom. I'm sure it was just like that. Okay, I'm going to make a universe. Hey, I think I'll make some humans that I'll have a relationship with, and it'll just be a wonderful experience. If my God can do that, then whatever comes my way, he can strengthen me. Remember that kid's song? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Oh, we're not going to sing that. I'm just reminding you of that. And David is saying, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And again, it wasn't just about David kind of celebrating life, even though he was. It's not just about that, because he's thinking, I need a God who knows me. I need a God who's around. Well, I have that God because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Go look up some of the stuff about how your eye works and how your brain works and all the miles of intestines you have going on and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, oh man, this is such lucky stuff. No, it's not. It's a creator. See, Pastor Jay, does it really matter? Yes, it does. Listen, I'm just telling you. I'm telling you the truth. If I didn't believe that God was the creator of the universe who made me and could sustain me, I would not even have gone to the hospital. Because what do I have to offer? Nothing. What do I have to offer folks when they're going through things if I don't believe that God is the powerful, all-powerful God? If I don't believe that, I got nothing to offer. Nothing. But he is the God who is, what? All-powerful. Verse 16, a couple more verses here. David says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Then I love this part. When I awoke, because remember, you know when I get up and when I when I go to sleep, when I awoke, I'm still with you, and basically you're still with me as the powerful creator. You're still there. And if you take your eyes back to verse 16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So this is what I wrote down. God has powerfully planned your life. Do you believe that? God has powerfully planned your life so nothing takes him by surprise. I'm not saying I understand it completely. I'm not saying I can describe it to you completely, but I do know this. One of the things that brings me encouragement and allows me to bring encouragement and comfort to other people is to say, listen, what has happened here has not taken God by surprise. He didn't go, oh, you caught me off guard there, this, or I didn't know, I didn't know what was going on. No, God powerfully has planned out my life so nothing that happens to me takes him by surprise. Because he is the God who is all powerful. So what does that mean? That means nothing takes him by surprise. What takes him by surprise? Nothing. Your best day, your worst day, nothing takes him by surprise. Woodrow Kroll said this, if your life is an uphill slope, set your sails to catch God's power. The God who is. We could spend week after week after week talking about God. But I'm thankful that God allowed me to be directed to Psalm 139, and I'm thankful that God inspired David to write about the God who is this. He is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. That's my God. And if you're in an experience this morning as you came in, maybe you're not really sure about that God, we would love to introduce you to him through Jesus Christ. Because without him, I have nothing to give you. With Christ, you have everything. And you have the God who is. I'm going to have Rex come and close us in prayer, and then we're going to sing one final song together.